Would you pray with me, please? Ageless one who created time and is sovereign over its every passing moment, be near to us at this turning of the year. Help us to look back and celebrate all that you have done and all that you have accomplished through us. To build your kingdom of justice and peace, empower us also to face the disappointment and the holy frustration of the change that we have yet to see. Help us to deal with the injustice that continues to rob so many of their future, and above all, fill us with your Spirit that we might look to the year ahead with hope, determination, and love, for we need your perspective as we continue to work with you for an end to poverty and a future for all. Lord, I ask that these words be your words and that your Holy Spirit would dwell in the hearts of all these people for your message to be heard, felt, and believed. Amen. So every new year, as it begins, I have conflicting emotions. I'm happy and excited that a new year is beginning because I love the hope and the promise, and it just is so exciting. I start thinking, I know you won't believe this, but I have already started planning VBS for the summer. And that, for me, once 2016 kicks into gear on January, it's like all the momentum for VBS comes rolling through me, and I get very excited. But at the same time, I'm filled with dread and sadness. It's not like I'm getting any younger. I am closer to the end now than the beginning, and if I'm not there, then certainly my parents are, and some of my friends. The scripture for today, my scripture for today, the other one was Mike's, the scripture for today is Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 13, and you may find it on page 616 in your Pew Bible. And it says, "There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift time can be." A Roman philosopher kind of copied scripture, and he said, "Time is the most valuable thing that a man can spend. Even though it was said thousands of years ago, it still remains true. So what do you need to do in order for time that you hoped for to be fulfilled? What changes do you need to make, and what new things need to be embraced? Or what do you need to let go of? In just a few days, the new year will begin. It's a time for us to evaluate the past. Or is it the ending of something that makes us want and desire for the future to be better? So if you had a genie and you had the opportunity to make three wishes, what would they be? My middle son always asked for three more wishes. Now, if you're under 20, you might ask for $1 million, all the toys in the world, and maybe a trip to someplace exciting. If you're between 20 and 40, you probably still would ask for that $1 million, but you'd ask for your family to be happy, and maybe a car or a house. Those of us over 50 may ask for health, love for our children and grandchildren, and world peace, because perspective changes over time. What we once thought was truly important changes. Much of our lives changed during that time, and Monty and I, my husband and I, our priorities have changed over the birth of our children and as we get older and older. Earlier, I had passed out little words, and those words are based on our scripture today, and you might have the word that said embracing or refraining or seeking or losing or keeping silence or peacemaking. And all of those words are from that passage that we read. And in the next year, some of us will definitely experience them. Now, there are many of those words I don't want you to experience, at least not next year. You may experience it sometime, but, you know, I hope that you won't have to mourn in 2016. The point is that we need to trust the one who created you and loves you more than anyone else in the world. God wants the very best for you. And although he knows that those words will come true at some time in your life, God really does want the very best for you. But this world is in a fallen state. And so sometimes we must experience those not so wonderful things. But we know that God continues to love us and continues to take care of us even through those experiences. Ecclesiastes is a book of perspective. The narrative of the teacher reveals the depression that is inevitably results from seeking happiness in worldly things. This book gives Christians a chance to see the world through the eyes of a person who, though very wise, is trying to find meaning and temporary human things. Most every form of worldly pleasure is explored by the teacher, and none of it gives him meaning. In the end, he decides that to come to faith in God is the only way to find personal meaning, and he decides to accept the fact that life is brief and ultimately worthless without God. He advises us, the reader, to focus on the eternal things of God instead of the temporary, short-term pleasure. The book of Ecclesiastes does not directly tell us who the author is, but most people believe that it was Solomon who wrote it, who was called the wisest person in the world. Still, some of us, after reading this, or even before reading this, are a people who see the world as a glass half full or a glass half empty. It sometimes seems when you're reading this book that we can't quite figure out what Solomon is, but it does not preclude us from following what God tells us of how to live our life. Mark chapter 12 says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. So he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, Jesus, which one is the most important?' 'The important one,' answered Jesus, 'is hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these.' 'Well,' said teacher, the man replied, 'you are right in saying that God is one, and there is no one but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God,' and no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions." It's easy to say, love God and love your neighbors, but it's harder to live it out. One man who did try to live it out was a man named Patrick, and we call him now Saint Patrick. And he was a man who was zealous for the things of God. As a missionary, though, he defied the Irish king's edict that restricted the lighting of candles on Easter Eve. Sometimes we come up with the silliest rules. King Laugair of Tyria had decreed that no one was allowed to light any fires until a pagan spring festival was launched by the lighting of a fire on Slane Hill. Patrick chose to honor God in spite of the threat of death. King Laguerre was so impressed with Patrick's brave devotion that he allowed him to continue his missionary work. An 8th century monk penned the words, "To be thou my vision." We're going to sing that in a minute, and it was a song that is a tribute to St. Patrick's wholehearted loyalty to God. The hymn was translated from Irish to English in 1905. You may find it on page 451 in your hymnal, and if you would open that to follow along with me, because I'm going to recite some of the words to these lyrics. Page 451. It begins, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart," which in other words, let me see things through your eyes. "Not be all else to me save that thou art. Don't be anything to me except all that you are. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. No matter the time of day, the best thing upon my mind is that I meditate on who God is and how much he loves me. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light." Whether or I'm awake or asleep, God's presence in our lives bring light to our lives and our hearts. It continues by saying, "Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. So may everything that I say be from and in you. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord." So what it's saying is, "Let me always be with you as you are always with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son." So you are the great Father and I am your child who follows you as the Father. "Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one." So when we become one with God, we are to act as him and be the representative of Jesus Christ. "Riches I heed not, nor men's empty praise." In other words, I don't want the things around the world or the things that I have to be the compliments or encouragement. Instead, I don't want the money. I want to be able to say to people, I love you and I encourage you. "Thou and mine inheritance now and always." So I want God to be the most valuable thing in my life. "Thou and thou only first in my heart." So may you and only you be the first love of my life. "High King of heaven, my treasure thou art." You are both King of heaven and the most treasure precious to me. When I sing this hymn, even though, believe me, I am not a good singer, it makes me feel as if I am honoring God, telling the world how he is to be loved and praised. And then I go and don't do something very nice. Or sometimes I have a tough time forgiving or loving people as I should. It was during the time that I was first starting to write this sermon that I became very angry at a situation that's happening in my own family. And I was mad at my brother, who has not been very kind and loving to my parents. It was then that I first saw this commercial. Now, we're going to see this commercial up here in just a second. And it's got some subtitles because it's actually a German commercial. But you'll get the point. But I just want to tell you that the first part of the commercial is Christmas, where the father has called his children and asked them to come home for Christmas. And they don't come home. So here's what happens. Maybe.
"Hallo Papa, ich bin's."
"Hallo Opa."
"Ich wollte nur kurz anrufen und dir Bescheid geben. Wir werden es Weihnachten dieses Jahr wieder nicht schaffen. Wir versuchen es nächstes Jahr und dann klappt es ganz bestimmt. Fröhliche Weihnachten, Papa. Bis bald."
"Fröhliche Weihnachten, Opa."
"There goes a day, there goes a week, so many goals I had to reach. The more I did, the less I cared, the more I missed the love you've shared. If life is a song, somehow it's sad, I'd don't know the words without you, Dad. You've been on my mind all the time, and I'm missing you. Home used to be just some walls that I know, but the truth is that home means nothing without you.
Wie hätte ich euch denn sonst alle zusammenbringen sollen?
It says time to come home. When I first saw this commercial, my thought flew to God and his love for me. What does he have to do to gain our attention? For us to remember that he created us and that he wants us to be in relationship with him. But we get busy. I don't find the time. I forget to pray, read our Bibles, and sometimes we even forget to come to church. Time. We all have the same 24 hours. None of us has more. None of us has less. So what are you going to do with the rest of today? You have 4 days left in 2015, and now is the time to decide how you're going to spend 2016. What are your priorities? And then, when what you planned falls apart, I often think that what we planned doesn't work out because man plans and God laughs. But there is a big difference between a plan and a priority. A plan can fall apart, but if your priority is to love your neighbor, even if you burn the cookies, you can still love them. Jesus told us what our priorities should be. Now we need to go out and live that. Love God, love our neighbors. So I'd like to invite you to think and reflect on these questions. What needs to happen in order for the time you hoped for to be fulfilled? What changes do you need to make? What new things need to be embraced? And of what do you need to let go? Ask God to help you with your priorities and with all that you may face in 2016. Let us pray. Helper in our past and hope for our future, hold our good intentions free. Free us from that which keeps us from the good, and enables us to move into the coming year with your love beside us, behind us, before us, always with us. Amen.